full retaliation by Iran, this time to flatten Tel Aviv and Haifa, as could be borne out by several of the guided projectiles that flew over the Knesset, or the so-called Israeli parliament, without the leveling it to the ground in order to herald the Islamic Republic's mastery of the skies.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan,
Mulawi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries and scholars. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Fadai and Shaykh Rouhani. Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, the current president and the current secretary general of the Lebanese organization Hezbollah. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the early life and biography of Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah was born in 1960. In a town called Al-Bazuriya, which was a kind of poor, location, whose people were suffering from poverty in the east part of Lebanon called Sur, whose mother's name is Mahdiya Safiuddin and his father's name is Sayyid Abdul Karim.
Yes.
And of course, regarding his education, he actually studied in a school in Beirut. And then, actually, in 1976, by the advice of the Imam Jum'ay Sur, actually, he started the seminary education or Islamic studies and moved to Najaf al-Ashraf. And then, after some 2 years studying there in Najaf, he returned to Lebanon and joined the classes of Imam Muntazir Seminary in Baalabak City.
Yes.
And continued his Hawzawi studies there.
Mm-hmm.
In 1989, actually, he went to the holy city of Qom for further studies and advanced studies in Islamic Hawza of Ilmiya of Qom.
That's right.
And of course, regarding his socio-political activities, we can mention that after finishing the high school in 1975, he was among the, what we can say, the officials in Jumbish Amal or Amal movement in the city Al-Bazuriya.
Mm-hmm.
And after returning from Najaf al-Ashraf in 1979, he became member of Jumbish Amal, and the political member of this party and group in 1982, together with some other scholars and ulama,
yes,
they actually established Hezbollah and this movement was established at that time by him and some of the other young scholars of the Lebanon.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice introduction. Sheikh Fadai, we know that, especially nowadays, that the Gaza Strip and the Palestine is under the attacks of the Zionism regime. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah's name is heard more than before. He, along with Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, are considered as two, it's better to say, the pivots of the resistance or al-muqawama against the tyranny and atrocity and oppression all around the world. How do you find the role of this man, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, in today's political scene of the world, especially in Hezbollah and also Hezbollah al-muqawama?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No, this kind of spirit was not new in Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. From his childhood, he had this belief. I mean, to believe in fighting with enemies. When he was child, he loved Imam Musa Sadr. Mm-hmm. Because of his belief in fighting with the enemy. Yes. And always he wanted to be like him. And something that he became after a while. And, you know, in the first years of forming Hezbollah, before Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, Sayyid Abbas Mousavi was Secretary General. In the beginning years, we can say that in Lebanon, Hezbollah was familiar and beloved by people and authorities, because they could stand in front of Israel and force Israel regime to get back from the borders of Lebanon. But after a while, because of some movements of enemy, some people, and of course we can say most of the authorities in Lebanon, they tried to make obstacle for Hezbollah and Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah.
Yes.
And even nowadays, you know, usually in the news we hear that Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah has lecture and people believe in him, but it's not all this story. In Lebanon, in his country, even now, there are people and authorities who are afraid of Israel and America.
Yes.
Because of that, they do not support Hezbollah. But Sayyid Hassan never stopped, and he's not going to stop, because he knows his duty, and by the actions of Hezbollah, Lebanese people have security.
Yes.
And, you know, he does not have the feeling of ethnic, I don't know, and national feeling to support just his people.
Yes.
No, you know, the main cause for this spirit is his deep belief in Velayat al-Faqih.
And their support for the Mazlumin al-Mustaz'afin.
Yes.
Was something that the late Imam Khomeini has very much emphasized on. Regardless of the race, color, ethnicity, you must be after the rights of such people.
You know, Velayat al-Faqih, even in Iran, it started like that.
Yes.
To support oppressed people and to fight with oppressors.
Okay.
So that is the cause that Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah followed Imam Khomeini. And I want to quote his sentence about Imam Khomeini. We can understand his belief clearly by this quotation. He says that, in our idea, Imam Khomeini is not only a marja, he is a complete leader, an imam. He is the symbol for revolution against istikbar, against colonization.
Yes.
And he could make the nations hopeful to fight with arrogance. And because of that, he says this relationship, this spiritual relationship that we have with Imam Khomeini is not just for now. We had this even before 1982. You know, 1982 is the time that Hezbollah was formed in Lebanon.
Okay.
He believed that we had this feeling with Imam, this spiritual relationship with Imam. So, you know, this spirit made this figure, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, following Velayat al-Faqih in order to support oppressed people and fight with oppressors all around the world, not just Lebanon, Palestine,
And that's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, as I said, especially in today's world, you know, on different occasions, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah is on the media and giving speeches and the sermons regarding the oppressions of the Israelis against Palestinian people. How do you find the role of Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah in achieving more and more resistance against the tyrannies and the tyrannical powers of today's world?
Tashayyu or Shiite movements from the early life of Tashayyu, from the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, particularly of Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, started with martyrdom.
Yes.
We have Ashura and Karbala as the main, let's say, founders of this school of Tashayyu. And it is always alive with the belief to Imam al-Mahdi ajalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-Sharif. Actually, Tashayyu has two wings. One is Ashura and the other one is Mahdiism.
Yes.
These two wings keeps always Tashayyu alive. That's why, as you see nowadays, when we see that speeches presented by Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, in all his speeches, he very much emphasizes, overemphasizes, and focuses on these two main beliefs of Tashayyu.
Mm-hmm.
One is Ashura, and the other one is Mahdiism or Mahdawiyya.
Yes.
That is why you see that from the time of Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam, though the oppressors, the oppressive kings, khulafas, umaras, they killed, assassinated, massacred numberless Shiite scholars, figures, people in the history, but still the Tashayyu is alive. That is why this movement, which is rooted in the Tashayyu and Shiite teachings and doctrines in Lebanon, yes, and anywhere else,
yes,
they will be alive till the end of the life or till the end of the history.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what? Because these two main beliefs always keeps Shia alive, wherever they are, whenever they are. The point is that, of course, now this resistance, you see that the people of the Shiite people of Lebanon were the most poor people. They suffered a lot from different kind of poverty, discriminations, injustice in Lebanon.
Yes.
But they established this powerful kind of political party by this kind of ideology. So that is why this resistance will be alive, will remain alive, till the time that Imam al-Asr, Imam al-Mahdi will reappear. Yes.
Okay.
And Tashayyu will be alive.
Yes.
Until that time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a Shia got martyred, he believes that he enters a better life, a better phase of life, which is, yes, the hereafter life, in the presence of Abdullah al-Husayn and A'imma alayhim salatu wasalam.
Okay.
If he remain alive in this world, again, he's winner.
Yes.
If he got martyred, again, he is winner. So that, yes, kind of people, that kind of movements, that kind of ideologies will never be vanished or removed from the earth.
Yes.
That will be always alive.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai, for a nice elaboration regarding the biography and the life of the Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. We would like to finish this episode of the program, The Teacher, with a part of his speech in Arabic language and the English translation of it. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, we can visit our website. You can visit our website at parstudio.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
من جوانب عظمة الإمام الخميني قدس سره أنه قائد وإمام، وهذا الإنسان العظيم الذي.
From among the aspects of greatness of Imam Khomeini is that he was the leader and an imam. And this great human, who was not an ordinary person, nor was he political leader in its ordinary sense, this imam, who was a jurist and religious authority, a mystic, outstanding and of high caliber, a philosopher and a thinker, a leader in the battlefield and one well aware of history and the message of Islam and well aware of his contemporary time as well as his friends and enemies and the extent of their plots. This historical Imam, this unique Imam, this Imam, the Imam of the revolutionaries and the leader of the soldiers of Allah and those who sacrifice. We are in need of such leaders. We are in need of such imams. We are in need of vanguards of this type. The exceptionality of Imam Khomeini was that he was, as Shahid Muteri had said, the Imam used to believe in his Lord and in his people and in the path that he was taking. And Imam provided this victory, the victory of Islamic revolution, to every weak and oppressed one, to every tortured and aggrieved one in this world, whether they were Muslims or non-Muslims. When our brothers went to him in 1982, he told them to fight this enemy in your land, turn Lebanon into a graveyard for Zionist invasions. Start from scratch, rely on Allah, and do not wait for anyone in this world. And know that you are definitely victorious.
حماس الأم حاضنة لجيش القدس والنصر فنعم الجند قسام أسود في الوغى تجري وهم في البحر حيتان وفي العلياء كالصقر وهم بالليل عباد وبالأسحار والفجر
شيلي يا حماس الدين هم الأمة عكتافك الله يا مهرة أحمد ياسين والقسام خيالك الله أنا عبدي هالمحتلين بصولاتك وجولاتك
A diverse range of programs Spirituality Youth, Eastern Tales, Roundtable Discussions. Politics, all produced by IRIB English Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and wherever you are listening to us.
The keys of life.
The world is a very, very big house. Many people living in many rooms. We must open all the doors up. We must unlock them all today. Throw all the keys away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Brothers, sisters, listeners السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته And welcome to the program مفاتيح الحياة Keys of Life In this program, we look at a hadith from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and sometimes verses from the Quran when they are available about matters of life. Now, previously we have been talking about brotherhood and the rights our brothers have over us and what we need to give back to them. Among the rights of the brothers is that we need to give them the mental support. We need to help them not only in matters of finances, but in even matters that concerns them in terms of their mental health. Specifically when it comes to praying for them, like giving them advice and so on and so forth. A hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, whoever wakes up in the morning and not caring about the affairs of the believers, then the Prophet said he is not a Muslim. Sometimes we get consumed by life itself and we get busy with my life and my work and this and that, and I forget to think about my brothers in faith. I forget to see what's happening with my brothers in faith. I forget to check the news. I forget to feel sorry for them. I forget to come to their help and aid, even just to pray for them. And especially now, we are going through hard time, especially with our brothers and our sisters in Palestine, and in Gaza. They're suffering. And because now it's dragging, it's past the 150 days landmark, a lot of people in the Muslim world, they say, oh, okay, it's done, you know. We got fired up at the beginning, but now they just don't care anymore because it's been such a long time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, no, you need to every day, man asbaha, whoever wakes up every morning. So every morning when you wake up, you say to yourself, what's happening to my brothers and sisters in faith? And he says, the Prophet says, if you don't do that, then you are not a Muslim. You're not one of them. وَمَنْ سَمَعَ رَجُلًا يُنَادِي, and when a person hears another person calling, يَا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فَلَمْ يُجِبْهُ فَلَيْسَ بِمُسْلِمٍ, when you hear a person calling you and he's saying, where are the Muslims? Where are those my brothers in faith to come and help me? And you don't help this call, you don't go and aid him, then again the Prophet says, then you're not a Muslim either. So even to that extent, when it comes to praying for them, understanding their problems, knowing their affairs, coming to their aids, are all part of my duty as a Muslim to another Muslim every single morning. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Ayatollah Javadi Amali, the author of the book Mafatih al-Hayat, The Keys of Life. This book, Mafatih, ought to be in two volumes. One volume, the present volume, Mafatih al-Janan, is on the level of the lofty rewards for praying, fasting, etc.
یه جلدش کم داره و اینه که فرونت رخکاری اینجا کم ثواب داره دعا هم داره ثواب هم داره.
But the book lacks its second volume, which ought to be on subjects like the lofty rewards for planting a tree.
امام اونطوری که این رو گفته دارم گفته دی اون امامی که گفته اگر روزه بگیری ثواب داره همون امام گفته که اگر درخت بکاری اون ثواب داره.
Imam has mentioned both of these subjects. The very Imam who has stressed out the reward for praying has also highlighted the reward for planting a tree. There are generous amounts of reward for protecting the environment. When growing wheat, take some in your hand and say these prayers. These are what the very Imam has mentioned. We lack this second volume in Islamic world.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Keys of Life, Mafatih al-Hayat. We said we need to worry about the affairs of our brothers in faith. Also, we are required to go visit them when they get sick and they fall ill. This is one of our duty towards our brothers and sisters. We have a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq salamullahi alayhi. He says, لكل شيء يستريح إليه. To everything, there's something that they get relieved by and they feel good by. وَإِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ, and surely the believing person, يَسْتَرِيحُ إِلَىٰ أَخِيهِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, he feels comfortable, relaxed and relieved with his other brother in faith. Then the Imam says, كَمَا يَسْتَرِيحُ الطَّيْرُ إِلَىٰ شَاكِلِهِ, in the same way that birds will always mingle among their own. So when a brother is sick and you go visit him, he'll feel at ease, at peace. He will feel good. And then the Imam Salamullah Ali, in another hadith, he says, whoever goes visits his brother for the sake of Allah, لا لشيء غيره, not for anything else, not to seek his needs and ask, you know, for things and stuff like that. No. He just goes to visit him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ لِإِلْتِمَاسِ مَا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ, just to seek that which Allah has promised. In what? Because Allah has promised that if you go visit a sick person, 70,000 angels would be calling this person who goes visits his other brother who is sick. They say to him, may you be blessed and bless the heaven that you will go to. The angels will say to this person, blessed you, you are blessed, and bless the heaven that you will go to. So in another sense, Allah is trying to reward those who visit their brothers in faith when they are sick with heaven, which is quite lofty for just going driving for a short time, spending half an hour with a brother in faith who is sick. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, he says in a hadith, a person was going by, or a king was driving by, walking by, and he saw a man standing at another man's door while the man of the house is not there. So the king said to him, what are you doing at this door? What brings you here? He says, I have a brother in this house and I came to visit him. قال رحم ماسة بينك وبين أم نزعت إلي حاجة. The person that you want to visit, is he a brother? You have a relationship with him, or do you have a need with him? And then it continues, because it's a long hadith. He said to him, no, I'm just coming. There is no relation between us, and there is no need that I come. I just came just to visit him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that person was deserving of heaven just for doing so. So sometimes when it comes to our brothers and sisters, it's not only material, but sometimes the simple, easy things that they require the most, like visiting them, doing dua for them, or even answering their call when they need us. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Driving past, walking fast, to the field of truth, hear the children scream.
There was the Keys of Life by Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
Every corner represents a different image in my mind, a momentary emotion. Space spent in time, in time.
In the limelight.
Armed Zionist settlers blocked roads, vandalized property, and scuffled with Palestinians around towns and villages in the occupied West Bank recently. The Palestinian Health Ministry said a 17-year-old Palestinian named Omar Hamed died of his wounds hours after he was wounded by a settler's gunfire in the village of Beitin near Ramallah. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Palestine Chronicle wrote, at times, accompanied by Israeli forces, armed settlers have attacked several villages, including Al-Mughayr, Abu Falah, Duma, Al-Sawiyeh, and Hubara recently. Mobs of Zionist settlers have continued their rampage across the occupied West Bank, killing another young Palestinian man and setting fire to homes, as well as attacking an ambulance. The Ministry of Health confirmed the killing of 17-year-old Omar Ahmad Hamed due to critical injuries sustained during an attack by Zionist settlers on the village of Beitin, northeast of Ramallah, reported the official Palestinian news agency Wafa. At times, accompanied by the Zionist regime forces, armed settlers have attacked several villages, including Al-Mughayr, Abu Falah, Duma, Al-Sawiyeh, and Hubara recently. Also recently, settlers attacked vehicles of Palestinians near the village of Dar Salah as well as Al-Jaba in Beit Lahm, causing damage to some of them, Wafa reported. Recently, settlers set fire to a vehicle belonging to Ahmad Hussein Abu Mohsen and destroyed the power station that supplies electricity to the residents of Ain Ghazal community in the northern Jordan Valley, northeast of the West Bank. Various areas in the Jordan Valley witnessed a wave of attacks by Zionist settlers, including the burning of homes and vehicles, and that's according to Wafa News Agency. The Palestine Red Crescent Society, PRCS, said Israeli regime forces attacked an ambulance and smashed the vehicle's windows in the town of Duma in the Nablus district. Recently, the Zionist regime forces blocked the entrances to the village of Al-Mughayr, northeast of Ramallah, preventing anyone from entering or leaving. Jihad Abu Aliya, 25, was shot and killed by live ammunition fired at his home when Zionist settlers stormed Al-Mughayr. Around 25 Palestinians were injured in that attack. Zionist settlers also fired at PRCS ambulance on its way to the town. Recently, 6 residents of the town were injured by live ammunition, one critically in the head, in an attack by settlers on the village. The assailants also set fire to several homes and vehicles and also burnt a firefighting vehicle en route to extinguish the flames. Zionist settlers also attacked shepherds in the Khalila near the village, pelting them with stones. The main entrances to the towns of Turmus, Aya, and Senjil, located northeast of Ramallah, were also closed off by the Zionist regime forces recently. According to the official resistance news network, resistance fighters opened fire on Jamala military checkpoint, as well as the Shaka checkpoint near Jenin. A statement by the Salafist Brigade Resistance Group also said a female troop was shot at the entrance of the town of Senjil. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas recently called on the Palestinian Authority and its security forces to protect Palestinian people amid the escalation of settler violence in the West Bank. Thank you. In a statement, Hamas said that the escalation of frenzied attacks carried out by settler militias are war crimes committed by the Zionist enemy. The statement also called on the PA and its security forces to practice the role entrusted to them to protect our people suffering under the way of daily raids and invasions, operations of killing and arrests, and daily crimes of the settlers, unquote. Wafa reported that according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health, hospitals in the West Bank have treated more than 55 injuries, tens of which were serious, most of them from live bullets in the recent escalation. This is in addition to dozens of injuries treated by ambulance crews at the scene. More than 463 Palestinians have been murdered by the Zionist regime forces and settlers' gunfire in the occupied West Bank since October 7th, according to the ministry, the report added.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, be careful before that bad habit becomes permanent. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, an honor to be here at A to Z. So, we are talking about how we need to be very careful before that bad habit of ours becomes permanent. So, what are we talking about? Well, you know, unfortunately, we have some sort of bad habit lurking around in our personality. And so that bad habit of ours, you know, if it is not cured, if it is not, you know, solved, if it is not fixed, if you will, then what happens is that slowly over time it becomes permanent. And when it becomes permanent, it becomes a part of our lifestyle. And of course, these kind of bad habits, you know, they have a tendency to hurt our Islamic lifestyle. Now, we're not talking about, you know, certain bad habits that, you know, because of the very non-God-oriented, systems and world that we live in, unfortunately, bad habits are considered to be things like biting your nails or talking out of, position, meaning it's not your turn to talk and you do talk, talking out of place, for example, or a bad habit like you like to chew chewing gum. You know, in this non-God-oriented world and these non-God-oriented systems, these are bad habits that are spoken about, when in reality, these are not the bad habits that we're talking about. Yes, these are certain things that you pick up through your life. You know, they might not be proper when it comes to the cultural, you know, or the, you know, status of the society type issues, but that's not really the bad habit that we're talking about, and it's not a bad habit that Islam is talking about. So bad habits in the Islamic context are these, really they're sins. They are sins that we have become accustomed to, and they have become a habit, and they are bad in the context of Islam. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about be careful before that bad habit becomes permanent. And so we talked about in the previous segment what we mean by bad habit. We're not talking about chewing gum, you know, for hours on end. We're not talking about these other kind of petty bad habits, if you will. We're talking about sins as a bad habit. So sometimes, you know, when you're relatively young, you know, I guess even in, you know, 10, 11 and above, and this is where parents have a huge role to play in making sure that you know, our child doesn't fall into some kind of a bad habit. But 10 years and above, and a lot of our Islamic sociologists and psychologists who work in the Islamic field, they really do talk about how even earlier than that, these bad habits are formed. But for example, if you sense like, you know, that lying is becoming an issue, not telling the truth is becoming an issue, being cunning or being selfish is becoming an issue, for example, watching bad things is becoming an issue, these are all bad habits that we really need to get rid of before they become permanent. If these things become permanent, they are very difficult to cure as one's age goes forward. But still, that does not mean that at any age, with the grace and the blessings of the Almighty Allah, we are able to change. So make sure to get rid of those bad habits before they become permanent in our Islamic lifestyle.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
People in many parts of the world have voiced their support for Iran's response to the Zionist regime's earlier attack on Iran's diplomatic mission in Damascus, Syria. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. As the news of Iran's retaliatory military action against the Israeli regime in response to an earlier attack on the Islamic Republic's diplomatic mission in Syria broke late on Saturday, 13th of April, people in many parts of the world took to the streets cheering for the Iranian military forces. The Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, launched retaliatory strikes on multiple locations in the occupied Palestinian territories in response to the 1st of April attack on Iran's consulate building in Damascus, which led to the assassination of seven military advisers, including a senior IRGC commander. Soon after the news broke, people across Iran poured onto the streets in support of the Iranian military forces, hailing their direct military action against the apartheid regime in Tel Aviv. According to Iranian military officials, the unprecedented missile and drone strike targeted key military sites in the occupied territories. However, they noted that the action was limited. Iranian cities such as Tehran, Kermanshah, Isfahan, Mashhad, Shiraz, Qom, Arak, Gumbad-e-Kabus, Shahrud, and Yasuj, and many other major cities witnessed hordes of people carrying the Iranian and Palestinian flags and chanting slogans against the Israeli regime. Backing their country in its legitimate defense, people in Tehran could be seen celebrating with fireworks at many places. Ecstatic people held rallies in Palestine Square in central Tehran and outside the British Embassy, holding banners that read, "God's victory is near," and "Down with Israel." Many street rallies were held during the night as Iranian missiles and drones evaded the much-hyped Israeli air defense system and pounded Israel's strategic military installations. Demonstrations were also reported in other countries as well, hailing the Iranian military action, which came amid the genocide in the besieged Gaza Strip, which has already massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians. At a Palestinian conference in the U.S. city of Chicago, Illinois, demonstrators commended Iran's retaliatory action against Israel. There were screams of joy when Hatem Abu Dayyeh, a member of the U.S. Palestinian Community Network National Coordinating Committee, broke the news during the conference. He said, "So it begins. 12 days ago, Israel brazenly hit an Iranian embassy compound in Damascus, Syria, violating international laws again. Iran has just responded around 30 minutes ago." Slogans of "Hands off Iran" and "Glory to the martyrs" reverberated in the crowd. Demonstrations were held in many European countries. Gisela, a PhD student from Frankfurt, Germany, said Iran was within its rights to target Israel. Condemning countries that chose to side with the Tel Aviv regime, she said, "It is a right of every country to defend itself. Palestine has this right, and so has Iran. I am happy that Algeria, as a country that I come from, officially declared its support for Iran's defensive action against Israel." In Canada, pro-Palestine supporters cheered Iran's retaliatory strike on the Israeli regime during a march in Toronto. Many people joined the march chanting slogans in favor of both Iran and Palestine. In the French capital, Paris, pro-Palestine demonstrators gathered a day after Iran launched its defensive military action against Israel. Voicing support for Iran, the protesters criticized their government for its failure to take measures against Israel for its continued genocide in Gaza. In Indian-administered Kashmir, people praised the Iranian government and its military forces, especially the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, for walking the walk and talking the talk and slapping the Israeli regime that has terrorized the region. People in the Arab world, including in Syria, Lebanon, and Yemen, also voiced their support for Iran's response to the occupying Israeli regime's earlier attack on its diplomatic mission in Damascus. The English website of Tasnim News Agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. Many pro-Palestine supporters also took to social media sites to express their jubilation over the defensive Iranian strikes against the Zionist regime. Jackson Hinkler, a pro-Palestinian supporter from the United States and a social media influencer, said Israel deserved it and that it was only getting a very small microscopic taste of their own medicine. US-based media outlet covering the Palestinian conflict, the Electronic Intifada's director, Ali Abu Nima, said Iran exercised its right of self-defense against military targets. Commenting on the images of Iranian missiles flying over the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Richard Medhurst, British journalist and political commentator, said, "The power of these images cannot be overstated." Palestinian resistance groups also hailed the retaliation executed to perfection by the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. The Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas said in a statement, "We in the Islamic Resistance Movement believe that the military operation of the Islamic Republic of Iran against the occupying Zionist entity is a natural right and appropriate response to the crime of targeting the Iranian consulate building in Damascus, as a result of which several commanders of the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, were martyred." The Palestinian Islamic Jihad Movement also commended the Iranian military operation. The resistance movement said in a statement on Sunday, 14th of April, "We consider this response to be a natural reaction to the existence of the occupying regime, and it becomes increasingly necessary in the light of the crimes, violations and assassinations that the Israeli regime continues to commit in flagrant violation of all humanitarian and legal values and standards." The statement by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement added, "We also condemn all the denying voices that have emerged in defense of the occupying regime, especially the countries that have made themselves a firewall to defend the Israeli entity and portray it as a victim in a blatant distortion of all the facts and realities." The Palestinian Popular Resistance Committee, a Gaza-based resistance group, said it could boost the Palestinian cause, adding that for Israel, it was the final nail in its coffin. In a statement on Sunday, 14th of April, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah extended its congratulations to Iran's leadership and to the Iranian nation. Hezbollah praised the brave and wise action by Iran's IRGC and the decision to respond decisively to the Israeli aggression on Iran's consulate building in Damascus. Hezbollah said, "The Islamic Republic exercises natural and legal right despite threats, intimidation and pressures, and fulfilled its truthful promise with unparalleled courage, with great wisdom, and a high appreciation of the situation at the entire regional level."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 23rd, 2015 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution. The Americans acknowledged that sanctions do not have any effect, as was pointed out in this meeting. This is a completely correct analysis. The Americans reached the conclusion that sanctions do not produce the desired effect anymore. Therefore, they pursued other options. We are running out of time and I should discuss matters as quickly as possible. They realized that without dependence on others, we can achieve advanced technologies. We relied on this logic and we entered into the negotiations. Of course, we did not lose caution. From the beginning, we looked with suspicion at the foreign negotiators and the American side. We did not trust them because of our experiences, and therefore, from the beginning, we entered into the negotiations with caution. We believed that if they kept their word, then so much the better. We too were prepared to make concessions.
دعا
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
We do not believe that we should not make any concessions in a negotiation and that we should not make a backward movement on some issues. This was not the case. We were prepared to make some concessions in a reasonable and rational way. However, we were after a good agreement. I should add that both we and the Americans speak about a good agreement. But when we speak about a good agreement, we mean a fair agreement. On the contrary, when the Americans speak about a good agreement, they mean a totalitarian agreement. We had just begun to move forward in the negotiations when their excellencies began to show their greed. Every day they said something new, and every day they made a different excuse. Their 6 months became 1 year, and it even became longer with the passage of time. Negotiations began to take various forms. It was their haggling and greed that lengthened the negotiations. Besides, they issued threats. They threatened to impose more sanctions. They even threatened to launch military attacks. They issued threats on the table and below the table and other such things. This is how their excellencies have behaved until today.
Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Gave me hope, oh Allah, I wanna thank you. I wanna thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. I wanna thank you.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Iruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pourreza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alami, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Iran's retaliatory strikes on Israeli-occupied territories have drawn admiration and praise in Afghanistan from both the country's ruler, the Taliban, and the Afghan people. They said the reprisal strikes were completely legitimate, justifiable, and have expressed their support for Iran in the face of hostilities.
Long live and fingers crossed to the leader of Iran and to the brave nation and IRGC of Iran for their bravery in hitting the occupying Israel. They did this while many Muslims, like Saudi rulers, are indifferent to the cause and values of Muslim world. Praise Ansarullah of Yemen and Hezbollah and any nation who stands for the Islamic and human rights of Muslim people.
We are happy that Iran carried out the retaliatory strikes on Israel. Every Muslim should feel proud because the bully occupying Zionist regime came under fire. Look, Israeli forces have been oppressing our brothers and sisters in Palestine for decades. It's the time for all Muslim countries to unite and show the aggressors that we can and we have such capabilities.
The Taliban-run foreign ministry issued a statement on Sunday declaring Iran's recent attack on Israel as a legitimate defensive action. It added that Israeli genocide must be stopped in Gaza. Experts say the Afghan ruling authorities' support for Iran's reprisal actions and the Palestinian cause shows Muslims are now united against Israel, and hatred towards the Tel Aviv regime is now everywhere across the Muslim world.
Decades of Israeli occupation in Palestine and its atrocities have made all Muslims hate this regime and call for the regime to be crushed. Over the past few years, the attacks carried out by Hamas and Hezbollah shattered the Israeli regime's grandeur. Iran's strikes against Israel came amid Israel's devastating and deadly bombing campaign against Gaza.
The Afghan people also showed their anger with Israel for its war crimes in Gaza.